when we sat down for the table the night of the Pesach, for the Seder, it says in the Haggadah that first we shall set 3 matzot on the table. And on top of these 3 matzot, we shall lay down 6 items. We will discuss first what is the meaning of the 3 matzot that we shall set on the table, and then each one of the 6 items that we lay down on the matzot for the Seder. And then we'll discuss the changes over the generations, what species exactly was used for each one of the 6 items that are set on the table in top of the matzot. Let us start with the matzot. Every Shabbat, when we sit down to the table, we set on the table 2 challot. Lechem Mishneh, only 2. When it comes to the night of Pesach, we lay down 3 matzot. Why is it that we are adding 1 matzah to the Lechem Mishneh that we have every Shabbat? So the reason is because there is a pasuk in the Chumash that the matzot that we eat this night, tochal alav matzot lechem oni. What means lechem oni? Oni has 2 meanings in Hebrew. And the Gemara explains that there is 2 items that are supposed to be in the matzah that we lay down on the table for the night of Pesach. One is lechem oni. Oni means response. One means he is responding, which means the story of the Haggadah of the Exodus of Egypt that we tell this night. Why is this Haggadah called response? Because it says in the Chumash that we are supposed to say the story as a response to the question of the children. V'hayaki yishalcha bincha v'igadetalo. You'll tell him the whole story. When he will ask you, you'll tell him. So therefore, this Haggadah is called Onim. Lechem Oni means, while we tell the story, we shouldn't just tell the story. We should have the matzah on the table while we tell the story. The second meaning of Lechem Oni means bread of the poor. Ani means a poor man. The Gemara explains that here it means that Ani, a poor man, doesn't have the means to have a whole bread. He just has a piece of a bread. And the same thing the night of Pesach. When we tell the story of the Exodus of Egypt, we should have on the table a piece of a matzah, a prusa, which means in addition to the Lechem Mishneh that we have every Shabbat, there should be another one, so we have 2.5 matzot on the table while we tell the story of Yetziat Mitzrayim, while we say the Haggadah. It is explained in Shulchan Aruch, it's not honorable to lay down on the table a half a matzah and say on it Kiddush. So therefore, we shall lay down 3 matzot on the table, say Kiddush, and when we are ready for the children to ask the 4 questions and we are going to respond, we shall break off the middle matzah, a half, put away for later. In the end of the meal, we'll eat the afikoman, and on the table will stay only one hef, which is the lechem ani. And as we say that, as we break it, and we return the hef matzah, we sing, hey lachma anya, here is the bread of response and the bread of the poor. Lachma anya is in Aramaic. In Hebrew, in the Torah, it says lechem oni, which is the same thing. So right as we break the matzah into two, we say that. And right after that comes the questions of the children and our response. After we finish the Haggadah, we're sitting down for the meal. So obvious, we have here two mitzvot. One is the Lechem Mishneh, that every Shabbat we have two chalot. And we say on that, Hamotzi, the bracha Hamotzi, before we eat. The same thing here. We are going to say first the Birkat Hamotzi and the two full matzot. Right after this bracha, we say another bracha. Asher kedishanu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu al achilat matzah. Which means that now we are going to eat the lechem ani, lechem oni, the middle one, the broken one, the piece. And as we say that, we break off a piece of the middle matzah, we break off a piece of the top matzah, the full one, we eat both together, the lechem mishneh and the hef, the lechem oni. This is why, while we say the story of the Exodus of Egypt, we're having on the table two matzot, full ones, shleimot, and one piece, a hef. Then it says in the Haggadah, in top of this matzot, we shall have six items. Items that tell us the story of suffering of the Jewish nation, slavery in Egypt, and the story of the miracles Hashem made to get them out of Egypt, the exodus of the Jewish nation of Egypt. Why we need these six items while we tell the story of the Haggadah? There is another pasuk in the Chumash that says, "V'higadet al bincha b'yom ha'ulamor." In that day, that night of Pesach, tell your children the story of Exodus of Egypt. Ba'avur ze asar Hashem lanu. For this, He did it. He wanted us to sit and to tell the story, not to forget the whole story of our slavery in Egypt and the Exodus that Hashem took us out. That's the simple meaning of the pasuk, that He wants us to tell the story. But He says, "Ba'avur ze, for this." Says the Gemara, "Why for this? Tell the story. Without for this." It shows that Hashem wants us to have on the table those items that remind us of the suffering and remind us of the Exodus. So therefore, Chachamim said that we shall have in top of the matzah these six items. We will go from item to item to see what it shows us of the suffering in Egypt and of the exodus of Egypt, and how each one of the items was done over the generations. The first item is on the top right, called Zroa, to remind us of the Korban Pesach, sacrifice of Pesach. Before we came out from Egypt, Hashem told Moshe to tell the Jewish nation, they should, each one, each family, should do a sacrifice, a Korban Pesach. He told that to them 5 days earlier to prepare a lamb, a young lamb, to make a sacrifice out of it, and the blood of it to put on the doors. So when time comes, when the last one of the 10 makot that the Bchorim died, Hashem will recognize the doors of the Jewish people. And then at night, each family should eat it roasted. And the same thing it says in the Torah, every year when this day comes, the day earlier, the 14th of Nisan, each family or group should have a sacrifice of Pesach, Korban Pesach, in the temple, in Bet HaMikdash. At night, we roast it and we eat it by the table the night of the Pesach. We don't have the temple now. The Bet HaMikdash was destroyed 2,000 years ago. We still want to remember that, to remind ourselves, to have something on the table to remind us that the Exodus of Egypt is connected with this sacrifice of Pesach. We cannot do a sacrifice now, we don't have the temple. So at least have a part of the lamb roasted and laid down on the table. No, we will not eat it on this night, to show us we don't have the real sacrifice of Pesach. But at least we shall remember. So we lay down a roasted zroa. What means zroa? An arm. The Korban Pesach used to be a lamb. So they used to take an arm of the lamb, roast it, put it on the table, on the matzot, till the end of the Seder, and then just throw it out. Don't eat it. Because to show that we don't have the real Korban Pesach. That's how it used to be in the earlier generations. Now, our custom is not to put a roasted arm. Why an arm? Because it says in the Torah that Hashem took us out from Egypt bizroa netuya, with the outstretched arm. We want to remember that too. So if you take only one piece, you take the arm of the lamb and roast it and lay it down on the table. But then our custom was to stop taking a roasted arm of a lamb. After all, the lamb is the real Korban Pesach, and when we'll see on the table a roasted arm of a lamb, it will feel that we are having still now the real sacrifice of Pesach. We don't have that. So what do? We take the roast a neck bone of a chicken. Why a chicken? A chicken is something that you could not, even when there was the temple, we could not do a sacrifice of a chicken. It says in Chumash what we could do a sacrifice from, not from a chicken. Why the neck bone? Because that's the part that has the least flesh on it, to show that we're not going to eat it. It is something that is not a real Korban Pesach. So in the latest generations, that's what we use, our custom to use for the Zroa. We still call it Zroa, outstretched arm of Hashem that leads us out of suffering. But we don't use something of a lamb. We use something of a chicken and the part that has the least flesh. Near it is, on the top left, there is the beitza, a hard-boiled egg. What does this remind us of? It reminds us when the Jews had the sacrifice of Pesach in the temple, and they ate their meal at home, that little lamb wasn't enough for the whole family. The lamb that it says that it should be, it says should be young lamb, less than 1 year old. So how much flesh could be there? Not so much. They used to do the Seder of Pesach in those days in large groups of prepared, invited guests, an extended family. That little lamb wasn't enough for everyone. We didn't want that people should go out of the meal and still not be satisfied and full. So if there is a large group that they felt that that wouldn't be enough, they would have another sacrifice, not a Korban Pesach. They would call it Korban Chagigah, for the high holiday sacrifice. So when they, that wasn't supposed to be roasted, it could be cooked in any kind of way. So they would give the first portion of that Korban Chagigah, and when the people felt they are not hungry anymore, but they are still not satisfied, they are still not full, then they would give each one a portion of the sacrifice of Pesach, roasted lamb, and then they feel already full, they would eat it together with the matzah, and they feel already satisfied. So that's like a king eating, like the Yom Cherut, that we are eating in a proper way, a full meal. We want to remind ourselves also of that part of the Korban Chagigah. For that we lay down a hard-boiled egg. Why a hard-boiled egg? Because it could be cooked, it doesn't have to be roasted. Why an egg? Because it's from a chicken and it's not the chicken itself, so it's not, doesn't look like a real sacrifice that we cannot do today. But this hard-boiled egg, we do eat, not like the roasted. When do we eat it? Right after we eat the matzah and the maror, when we start the Shulchan Orech, the meal, first thing we do, we eat this hard-boiled egg, we dip it into salt water, and we eat it. Why do we eat it? It says that a hard-boiled egg is usually showing mourning, that when a person dies in the family, in the first meal they have right after, one of the things they eat is a hard-boiled egg, which is mourning the death. Why a hard-boiled egg? It says the hard-boiled egg is round and it's a cycle. It shows us that when a person dies, it's only a cycle. Every person, when he is born, it's happy in the family. We know eventually he will die, but we are still happy. And when he dies, we are all sad and we're mourning him. But we all knew that it's a cycle. So therefore, an egg, a hard-boiled egg, is showing us the cycle and mourning. And we are now mourning the fact that we now don't have the temple. temple is destroyed. We're just having something to remind us of what was in the temple. So for that, this hard-boiled egg we eat in the beginning of the meal. That's the top right and top left, and then in middle to form a triangle, a segol, we're having the maror, the bitter herbs. We all know what this is for, to remind us the suffering and slavery of the Jewish people in Egypt. Bitter herbs could be a lot of things. The Gemara says there are five species that are considered this maror. And if one of them, which is the preferred one of them, that if everyone could get it, he should do it with that herbs, is what we call the Roman lettuce. Roman lettuce, chasa. Why Roman lettuce is bitter herbs? It's not that bitter. We eat it every day in salad. Explains the Gemara that this is has a special tuna in it, character. We eat it when it's not bitter because we cut it up on time from the ground. If we should not cut it right away, we should leave it longer in the ground. As long it stays, it becomes more and more bitter. And this is what shows us the kind of suffering that our people had when they were slaves in Egypt. When they just came to Egypt with Yaakov, Pharaoh told them, take them to the best place, Mitav Haaretz, in Goshen. And sometime after, he asked them to help him build a city, Pitom Ramses. And when he got them to start working and he paid them a salary, so he told them, now you are continuing to work as slaves, and he turned them into slaves. Starting the perach with a soft language, ending the parach with forced labor and slavery. And therefore these herbs, the Roman lettuce, the chasa, that we make the salad of, is the best thing to use for the maror. Then, about 1,000 years ago, the Jews emigrated from Israel and from Iraq, from Babylonia, to here, to Germany. And then later on, like 500, 600 years ago, they continued to move to Poland, and then like 250 years ago, they continued moving to Russia. In those cold countries, Roman lettuce can't grow in the winter. To call for them. So they started using another one of the five maror, kinds of maror. They started using horseradish, tamcha, in Yiddish it's chrein, because this is usually growing underground. And even if it's a cold country, it could still grow in the winter. Nowadays, we could get chasa, we could get among Roman lettuce everywhere. If it doesn't grow there, it's too cold, you could deliver it. Today, they have the means to deliver from all over. But for many generations, the Jewish people used the horseradish. So they continue using that. And they add also the Roman letters. So our maror today is the two kinds together. We have several leaves on the table of the Roman letters, and on top of that, some grinded horseradish. So that's already three. But this maror, we have twice on the matzah. It's two of the six. Why twice the same thing? Because we eat maror in this night twice. One is right after the matzah, the maror, we say a baracha, asher kedishanu mitzvotav, v'tzivanu al achelat maror. And then we eat it as a sandwich together with the matzah. It says in the Chumash, it says tochal matzot, eat matzah. It doesn't say tochal maror. It says, when it speaks about the Korban Pesach, the sacrifice of Pesach, that you should eat it this night, al matzot umorim yichlu, eat it with matzah and maror. So Hillel, the famous Hillel, he was a time of the temple. So he used to eat it as a sandwich. The part of the roasted flesh, meat, and the matzah, and the maror, all three together. Because that's how he explained what it means. Al matzot uborim michlu, eat the Korban Pesach with the matzah and the maror. Not everyone agrees with him. So therefore, first we eat matzah separately and maror separately. Then we make a sandwich, we eat it together. So therefore, on the table, you have the two maror, one on top of the other. The top one is what we eat separately, and the bottom one is what we eat as part of the sandwich. The fifth item is what is called haroset. What is haroset? Haroset is the word of cheres, clay, to remind us of the slavery work that they had to prepare clay for building the cities. What is actually the haroset? Take some fruit or vegetables, grind it, put in some beverage into it, and it will become like a dough, like a clay. In the Mishnah, it doesn't say what item, what species we should use for that. But later, our great sages said, let's take, in the Gemara says, that at least when you grind it, mix into it also grinded apples. Why apples? Apples, when you grind it and you mix it in, gives some sharpness. To remind us, it's not only regular clay. It's clay that was done with a lot of suffering. That's what the Gemara said. Then, after the period of the Gemara, was the Geonim. So the Geonim said, also mix in some grinded nuts. Why nuts? To remind us what it says, that when Hashem came to see the situation of Jewish people suffering in Egypt, the Pasuk is using the expression El Ginat Egoz Yeradeti. I came down to a garden of nuts, which means the Jewish people, to see how they are doing. And I saw their suffering and I decided to help them. So since that's what it says, we shall use also grinded nuts in the haroset to remind us of that. Then, like 500 years ago when the Kabbalah started, so they wrote it's good to add some grinded pearls into it. Whatever reason, I'll be the Kabbalah, so we're having already three items that they're putting into it. Grinded apples, grinded nuts, and grinded pears. But that's not enough. The Gemara said we should also add grinded spices, mainly ginger and cinnamon. Kidova kinomen. Why? So they explained, it says in the Chumash, when they made the clay, they had to use straw mix in to keep it stronger and it shouldn't fall apart. So we should add in the haroset, in the clay kind, also something. The ginger and cinnamon, when you pound it, you don't grind it, it will become like strings of straw. And that will show us that our haroset has all the ingredients that used to be when the forced labor in Egypt of making clay. That's how it used to be till several generations ago. We don't put in ginger and cinnamon into our haroset. Why? Because several generations ago, they used to buy ginger and cinnamon from the general population, the gardeners. And these gardeners, when they used to sell fresh ginger and cinnamon, they wanted it to look fresher than it is. So they added some flour over it, a little dust of flour gives the view of something fresh, which maybe make it chometz. So they stopped using the ginger and cinnamon. So we're mainly using these three items of grinded apples, nuts, and pears. Then it says in the Talmud Yerushalmi that we shall mix into it later, before we eat, we should mix into it some wine, red wine, to remind us of blood. Blood, the first of the 10 makot that Hashem forced Paro and Egypt to let the Jewish people go, was he made their rivers into blood. So therefore we shall add some red wine into it. We do it later, before we eat. Our custom to do it is we don't add wine in it. Rather, when we have our cup of wine that we make Kiddush on, and the plate under it, when we fill up the wine for the Kiddush, we fill it up completely and it overflows a little bit. So in the plate stays a little bit wine. So before we're using the haroset, we take a little haroset of the top of the matzah, we put it into the plate, and that's where it's mixed with wine. Why we do it like that, there is a halachic explanation for that, but it's out of the scope of our discussion today. This haroset we don't eat as itself. But when we eat the maror, we dip it into the haroset, and then we eat the maror. That's the fifth thing. Five items that are reminding us of parts, what was done by the period of slavery and the period of exodus of the Jewish people from Egypt. Then there is a sixth item. That sixth item doesn't come to show us the exodus of Egypt. It comes for another reason. And therefore, when we going to say the Haggadah, this sixth item is not going to be on the table. As we said, it says, Ba'avur zeh, when we say the Haggadah, we shall show for this the things that show us effects of the slavery and of the Exodus. The sixth thing we are going to eat before we start the Haggadah, and it's not going to stay on the table anymore. What is it? And why do we put it? So we put it to get the children to see that something strange is going on. Why do we want to show them something strange? Because it says in the Chumash, V'hayaki shalcha bincha, when your children will ask you, Mazot, what is this happening today? So we are starting the meal in a strange way. So they are going to ask, what is it? Yes, sure, today we prepare the children. They will know already before. But they are going to ask the four questions. And one of the four questions will be, why are we dipping in two times? Matbilin shtei pe'amim. One of them is this karpas, which means right after the kiddush, when we drink the wine, usually we're going to wash and eat challah and eat start the meal. Here we made kiddush, we don't start the meal. Yes, we go to wash, we come back, we take something, we dip it into salt water, and we eat it. Usually we don't do that, and we don't touch the matzah yet. So this is special to do something strange, to fulfill what it says, V'ayaki shalcha, to get the children anxious to know, understand what's going on. In the Mishnah, it doesn't say what kind of thing we should eat. It says yerek, vegetable. Then the Poskim said, let's take karpas. What means karpas? Today it's called celery. In the time of the Gemara, it used to be called petrozilia. It's still being called like that in some places. So the Yerushalmi says, my karpas, petrozilia. But it doesn't say in the Gemara we should use that. That's later. Our great sages said, let's take karpas. Why karpas? Let's eat this celery. Why? Because the letters of karpas at least show us something of the suffering. The letters of karpas is like samach perech. Perech means hard slavery work. Samach means the 600,000 Jewish people that was in Egypt in that time. So therefore they said, let's eat this for the yerek. And the Mishnah doesn't say what kind. So let's use this. They used it for several generations. But again, when the Jewish people immigrated to Germany, Poland, and Russia, in these cold places, the celery doesn't work, doesn't grow well winter. This is also something that grows out of the ground, and the cold, it doesn't take the cold. So they changed it. We are using now onion. Onion grows underground, the white part of the onion, so even in the winter it exists. So right after the kiddush, we wash our hands, we cut off a piece of the onion, we dip it in the salt water, and we say Borei Pri Adama, and we eat it, and that's it. And the children are wondering, what is this? We never do that. To get them more anxious, We do two little more items to get their attention. We're filling up the second cup of wine that we are going to drink after we finish the whole Haggadah. Why are we filling up the cup now? Children don't understand. We didn't start the meal yet. Usually after Kiddush, we start the meal. Why are you putting in another cup? Filling up another cup. To make it even more. Before we put on the cup, we covered the matzah. We broke a half. We have it on the table. All set. We said, Hey Lachma Anya. Right after that, we cover the matzah, or we push it away a little bit. Children say, why cover the matzah? We have to start the meal. Right after all these changes, children are asking the four questions. Manishtana alayla zeh. What happened this night that we do all these strange kind of things? And then go on and say the whole Haggadah. Until the end of the Haggadah, where we drink the fourth cup, and we all announce, Leshana Haba'ah B'Yerushalayim. Next year, we're all going to be released and live in peace in the holy city of Jerusalem.